Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Thanks to our mates at Brighton's Lawyers. They're great supporters of Rugby League too. Brighton's Lawyers, where they commit, protect and succeed. And of course, there was a couple of games on yesterday. Manly beating Parramatta 22-18. Knights over Souths 20-18. Dragons had a win over the Dogs 28 points to 22. And they are all thanks to Tyre Power. Get $100 cash back on selected Michelin tyres. Now, Maroons poll today, as we go into this chat about the Doggies. Maroons poll today is, do you think the Dogs paid too much for Nick Kotrick? Do you think the Dogs paid too much for Nick Kotrick? Triple M NRL Facebook or at triplemnrl.com. Right now it's Sharks 6, Warriors 0, 7 gone.
Just on that poll question, Anthony, What do you think? Do you think they did pay? They paid 1.95 over three seasons.
I wouldn't. If I were him, I wouldn't have gone there for that.
What, you would have wanted more?
I would have stayed at the Raiders for a little bit less and probably won a premiership in the next couple of years.
You're the king of cash.
Well, that's absolutely... yes, I probably am, but let me say this. I wouldn't go to... I would rather stay at a good club for a little bit less.
I think, and I'm 100% with you. Mm. You look at everything the Raiders have achieved over the course of the last couple of seasons and what they're building continually at the club. And there's a premiership window there and there's great opportunities and he's a local junior and he probably sets himself up with all sorts of opportunities for life after football. But he's also a young bloke. He's had a taste of rep football with New South Wales. He's had a taste of rep football with the Kangaroos. And I think he likes... an element of him likes the opportunity to live in Sydney.
Mm, yeah.
So that was part of the equation as well.
I think there's something to be said, though, for being a local, growing up and going through your career at one club. And you've only got to look at the way Ricky Stewart, who was a Canberra great, when he went back there to coach, the town just opened up for him.
Mm.
Everybody just wanted to get back on board with the Raiders. And he gives back to the city.
I think 10-0 Sharks, Paul, keep going, mate. You're right.
Well, that's why it's such a good narrative that Sticky now is the figurehead of that club, along with Don Ferner and those types
but
of people.
You look at other players at other clubs, Hoops, that have the same benefit. You look at, I know Jonathan Thurston started at Canterbury, but he was a North Queensland guy. He had to go down to Canterbury to get a start.
Mm.
But he went back there, and when he was back at the Cowboys, he knocked back numerous opportunities to go elsewhere, sometimes for more money than the Cowboys were paying him. But it's created a life for him after his footy.
Mm. Yep.
And he wants to do something in Townsville. Everybody in town gets behind him to help him work.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at Gordon Tallis in Brisbane. He only pays for petrol and groceries.
Oh, he's paying for groceries now.
I stopped going to the,
But, you go out for dinner with him. You don't put your hand in your pocket all night.
It's funny you say that, Paul. It's funny you say that because I was listening to the Triple M Brisbane call on Friday night. Excellent call. Dobbo's doing a sensational job. So are you, Gordy, and the polar bear. But I couldn't help but notice this. For all the rubbish I cop, this is you calling the game on Friday night. Gordon Tallis.
Daddy hot and strong, install a ream. I'll be hitting the hot shower tonight. Thanks, Ream.
What about a day out on your sea-doo and you come home to a ream?
Oh, stop it, Gordon. Anybody would think you're trying to milk your way for a sea-doo.
Listen, if they gave one to Spud, mate, they give one to Spud. I'm sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just you... blatantly trying to...
No, I'm talking about our sponsors. You talk about people...
No, hang on, did they give a Sea-Doo to Spud?
I don't know if they gave a Sea-Doo to Spud.
Listen.
Spud is a Sea-Doo guy.
What's a Sea-Doo?
Jet ski.
It's a jet ski.
Why would Ream give him a jet ski?
No.
Sea-Doo is the brand.
Sea-Doo was one of the sponsors and Ream is another sponsor, right? And Ream comes on steady, hot,
I just think it's...
But listen, I talk about the sponsors of our show, right?
Yeah.
You talk about Bob's Garage... Old Mate's Tyres.
No, Tyre Power's a sponsor.
And then you talk about RSL clubs.
Which spends big money on this radio station.
Mate, you talk about your trivia.
I think the listeners, the point I'm trying to make, listeners, and I know...
They were both of our sponsors, by the way. Thank you for the CD.
Here he is trying to fleece a free Sea-Doo. At the same time, Paul Kent's chewing away on a Mars bar, something I only got in trouble for 15 minutes to go.
Anthony.
So, mate, you don't have to back him for everything he does, okay?
What I will say, Anthony, and I know your ears aren't painted on, so you will listen to this, is listening to that audio that you just played of Gordon, what I took out of that is that Gordon has learned a lot of valuable lessons out of working with you over the last 5 years, i.e. how to plug sponsors.
Well, that's
and even like, intertwine them together.
Well,
that's deft.
I didn't name the boss's CD,
but if I can get his name like you with Lee, I will just start talking about the bosses and buttering them up as
talking
well.
Talking about him like he's an old mate. That's Gordon's trick. Oh, yeah, we go way back.
All right, boys. Well, I just thought I'd
change play that. Your day from now, the Barden Shed.
1-3-3-5-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3 and in the end, we're probably a little bit unlucky not to win that game. Obviously, it starts through the week where Dean Pay, a bloke who we've all, you know, respect for what he's achieved with the Dogs and on the footy field, he walks away from the club, and it looks like Trent Barrett will get the job. So let's start there. No real surprises I get with Dino walking away.
No, not at all. They put it to him that they didn't ask him to leave, and he wasn't sacked. They basically went to him and said, look, we've got to let you know that we're going to go to market, talk to coaches. We've had a few managers approach us about coaching next year. We always said to you that if we did go and talk to other coaches, we'd let you know. So that's what we're doing now. We're letting you know. And Dean Pay, who's a very upstanding man, just said, well, you've made your intention clear about next year then. If I'm not part of a long-term plan, I might as well go now, at which point the club, and I think fair play to the club, to be honest. I've been into them over a couple of things about how they've handled this, but fair play here. They just said to him, well, mate, if you want to go now, you can go now, and we'll pay you out for the rest of the season. So that's what they've done. Mm. And so I think that's fair. The problem that the club's got is it's not just about coaching a football side for whoever coaches next. It's about managing the factions within the club, whereby you, and this happened to Dean Pay, he was used as ammunition by various factions when it wasn't going their way. So,
how do you mean, Kenny?
Well, when they were having, at different times they were arguing over who actually appointed Pay as coach and about interference, about people.
Well, it was Ray Dibb in the previous board who appointed Dean.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it became a fight between them, of which there were denials. Well, it wasn't us that did it. There were the factions outside the club jumped on Lynn Anderson and all the rest of it. Lynn Anderson and the board had to say, well, it actually wasn't us. Mm. And then it became, well, there's interference there with Chris Anderson's interfering with the way the team's been run. Chris Anderson came out this week and said that, he was insulted by insinuations that he's been interfering with the way the team's run. So the coach is not able to just go and own his own decisions. The decisions that get made at the club have to run through the board. That's been explained away by the fact that previously they weren't happy with the way decisions were made without the board input, and they didn't agree with all those decisions. So in what looked like a common sense approach to administration, they said, well, okay, from now on these decisions on recruitment and all that will now come through the board, and they will have to underline it and tick it off and all the rest of it. But what's happened now then is that's now being used as ammunition by those against the board as to why the coach can't do his job. Mm. And it's an obstacle now because he's trying to do his job. And as you know, like the only way you ever get anything done with a committee is you have a three-man committee and two aren't there. Mm. Otherwise, stuff doesn't get done. Committees love to sit around and talk.
All clubs these days, and you know this full well, have recruitment processes. I can't think of any club where a coach gets sole control over hiring, firing, and all the rest around of it. Even at the Melbourne Storm, where you've got Craig Bellamy, Frank Panisi is there. Paul Bunn is there.
But the difference there, Hoops, is generally the coach is involved in the employment of his recruitment boss. So he has an input into who the recruitment boss is. And they're generally closer working units.
Yep.
They are like you talked to Craig Bellamy and Frank Panisi.
And they'd be honest discussions.
Listen, 100%. Right.
I'm looking for a back rower.
Yep.
And I want a Boyd Cordner type to go, well, we got Billy Kickow.
Yep.
And they go, oh, it's a different type of player. And then in the end, it'd come down to the coach.
Yep. Yeah. Generally,
but, like, and he'd get the options. He'd go, listen, well, these are the three back rowers?
Well, what they do, the coach will say, generally the way it works in theory is the coach will say, look, we need a back rower. I want a boy caught in the tall wall. I want a running back row, whatever. And the recruitment guy will come back and he'll go, right, I've got this guy, A, B, and C. A is a good runner, but he wants 600.
Yep.
B's not quite as good, but we can get him for four. So they have to start making the yep. And C's a bit old now, okay, but we'll get value out of him for probably 12 months, and then but he wants a 2-year deal, okay? Mm. So you got all these little variations within the deal you've got to consider. And then it gets to the coach, and the recruitment officer generally presents it to the coach, and the coach will make a decision within that about what they can afford and what's the best play. But it's always a joint discussion, and it's always a consensus about, in the end, generally at the clubs are working well, it's pretty much a consensus that they go in together and say, yeah, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go after this guy, and they go and get him. Whereas at the Bulldogs, Dean Pay has been trying to get into market because he knew this was the last year of his contract. He knew the whispers were around that they were going to go and look at other coaches, which they've now done. So he was proven correct.
Hmm.
So he wanted to go out and he wanted to get Josh Reynolds for this year.
Yeah, but that around no. that, I get where you're coming from with that, right? But I think you'll find, and if, you know, it all needs to be laid bare. I'm told that it can all be laid bare, but I don't know that it needs to be. Dean Pay was happy to sign Josh Reynolds if he could get him for about the price of $150,000, $200,000. It was going to cost the Bulldogs $400,000 plus to get him onto their books for this season. Yeah. And Dean even agreed with the recruitment people. Yeah, okay, no worries. I didn't realise it was that much.
Yeah, but
at that price, that's not the right buy for us.
But that's true because Dean's thinking of the long-term welfare of the club.
Yep.
For the short-term, for Dean Pay's own selfish reasons,
he should have
screw the salary
spend
cap,
the
spend
just
the money,
get me
an experienced playmaker that I can put in the halves next to Kieran Foran so we can have a 6 and a 7 who've actually got some footy behind them and have got a little bit of punch in them and might have be able to get me a result. You put Josh Reynolds in that Canterbury team yesterday, they win the game.
Yes. Yeah, that's
you know what I mean? And that's, but it's now cost him his career.
Yep.
Sharks 18-0, by the way, boys. Go
ahead. One of your favourite players, Ronaldo's, just scored another try, Anthony, and then Sean Johnson's kicked the goal from the sideline.
18 blot.
Yep. In relation to the whole Josh Reynolds issue, and more in the bigger picture, the Dean Pay wasn't given every opportunity by Canterbury, the club. People at the club are unhappy because they say Dean Pay was signed by the previous board, headed by Ray Dibb, given a 2-year deal, right? And he came in and the narrative was that, you know, they were going to go back to the Dogs of War. They were going to bring back the madness. They were going to have a crack. They were going to improve as a side.
Yeah, but
you can only go to war if you've got the right guns.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but hang on, can I finish?
The tanks,
then after 2 years, to stop all the drums beating.
You're a goose, mate.
To stop all the drums beating after Dean had only had 2 seasons, right? They gave him an extra year. They gave him, after one season, they gave him an extra year.
But who did he buy? Who was he allowed to go to the market and buy?
Well, they didn't have any dough.
Yeah.
But this is the problem, right? Dean Pay got
He had nothing to do with James Graham leaving.
James Graham had already agreed to leave prior
to Dean Pay arriving.
Dean Pay had agreed when James Graham was there. Dean Pay had agreed. Graham was still there, but was about to let go. So James Graham left the club because of salary cap.
Yep.
Dave Clemmer was in a Canterbury tracksuit when he arrived at the club.
Yep.
They let him go.
Yep.
Aaron Woods, another test prop.
Dean Pay ticked off on Aaron Woods going.
Yeah,
because they presented him the financials hoops.
Mm. Yep. So Aaron Woods was in a Canterbury tracksuit when he arrived at the club. Brett Morris was in a Canterbury tracksuit when he arrived at the club. Josh Morris was in a Canterbury tracksuit. Moses Mbai was in a Canterbury tracksuit. So there is five test players and an Origin player all playing for Canterbury when Dean Pay arrived there.
Well, why would you let them all go then?
Because of the salary cap. The
decision around Graham was already made before.
But
that was salary cap as well.
But it was salary cap. I left James Graham out of that then, Hoops.
Yep.
Okay. Clemmer, Woods, Morris, Mbai. 5 test players and an Origin player, all at the club, all let go to get back under the salary cap again. Okay.
Yep.
And who did they bring in for? They brought in Luke Thompson.
Yep. And Dean Pay got one game.
Yeah.
Where he got one game out of him.
Yep.
Hang on.
I'm glad we got here, right? Because they brought in Corey Harawira Naira, and this is the live hand grenade that they've now got to try and resolve now, the Bulldogs administration, the Bulldogs bosses, because he's gone and had a meeting with them on Friday.
Doesn't want to stay there.
He wants to go to the Canberra Raiders.
Yep.
Right? Because Joseph Tapani is down there.
Yep.
Jordan Rapana is down there. They're all mates from playing for New Zealand together.
Yep.
And he feels as though Canterbury threw him under the XPT all the preseason scandal up at Port Macquarie. He knows he did the wrong thing. He's apologised for his own mistakes.
Yep.
But he also feels about when push came to shove that the club hung him out to dry. So he wants to go, but the club are now saying, no, well, under the NRL appeals committee,
you've
been reinstated.
So we want you now.
Even though none of us have been in touch while you got the wrist hole and you've been on the outer, now all of a sudden, oh, welcome back. We want you back at the family club.
I know how he feels.
They've got another meeting. It's not, this will stun you, but it's not all about you, Anthony. They've got another meeting early next week, right? They've got another meeting early next week where they're going to try and convince him that he needs to stay. Probably the fact that Trent Barrett is going to be announced tomorrow or the next day as their coach for three seasons gives them a little bit of a better hope of holding on to Corey.
All right, boys, let me stop you there. 133353, the phones are in meltdown again. Yeah. This is Bulldogs fans now wanting to have their say. And by the way, Maroon's poll, which was, did the Dogs pay overs for Nick Kotrick? 70% of fans agree that the Dogs paid overs for Nick Kotrick. So right now, too, it's the Sharks 18 leading the Warriors nil on the Tyre Power scoreboard. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon. We'll come back. We'll take some of those calls. We'll talk a little bit more Doggies. And coming up to the award-winning segment that's gone viral, Maroon's Pub Quiz.
The Triple M Sunday Sydney.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
And wherever you might be listening right around Australia, we welcome you and at Triple M underscore NRL. If you want to get involved in Maroon's poll once again, should Nick Kotrick, or did the Dogs pay too much for Nick Kotrick? So far, just over 70% agree that they did. But anyway, he's a great signing either way, Nick Kotrick to the Dogs. And also, the Glen Rehab, the largest Aboriginal drug and alcohol community-controlled rehab in New South Wales on the Sunny Coast, and the guys and girls there are listening. So I hope you're doing well, guys and girls, at the Glen. One day at a time, we wish you all the best. 133353 is our number. And we're talking about the Doggies. Let's go to Alexandria Rovers territory. Andy, what did you want to say?
Well, oh, it's great to hear you guys talk about the Bulldogs and what's happening. Ray Deeb, Dean Pay, Lynn Anderson. My question is, where's Des Hasler and all this? You know, being a supporter for the last 5 years, you see the absolute salary cap mismanagement, and he's run off to Manly. And every time I hear someone say, oh, Des Hasler, one of the best coaches in the game, he absolutely ravaged us for his selfish reasons.
I don't agree. I just name players who left Canterbury: Clemmer, Woods, Morris Embiid. They're all there under Des. Hang on. When people argue that he left them with no roster, that's a pretty hand. He also had James Graham there. So there's, six internationals, five internationals, and an Origin player that Des had at the club. When he was sacked from the club, let's remember.
But he was sacked because all those blokes, they couldn't keep all of them because they had all these back-ended contracts, and it was for those reasons that they had to leave.
That's not right though. They didn't leave Des. If you talk to Des, Des had a plan to be able to move forward. But what happened was the club sacked Des with a year to run on his contract. So Des wasn't there that final year. Now, Des has shown over the years at various clubs, at Manly before and again at Canterbury, that he's been able to get players in. He did back-end contracts, but he's also been able to manage that. And some clubs still do it now. They back-end contracts and they manage players in and out and they get through it. The reason it all came a duster for Canterbury was they sacked Des with a year to go, at which point that then left them with these players on back-end of contracts and other players at the club on back-end of contracts, but there was no one within the club who had the nous to be able to manage that. So their only way that they were able to manage it
was to just get rid of the big contracted players. Now, Dez has had an ability in the past to say to guys, look, mate, you know, Dez is one of those hands-on guys that does it all, who can actually find a guy, a contract at another club. He'll come up and he'll say, look, mate, you've got a year to go, but we're thinking of moving you on, mate. I don't know if you're going to be able to stand one more year here, so how about I get you a start over at Wigan, or get you a start in France, whatever, yeah, or at the Warriors or wherever. And he's been able to do that over the years. It's a bit of a juggling act.
Yeah, but hang on. I'll disagree with that, Kenny, because, yes, he's been able to do it, but the way he left Manly, and this isn't a criticism of Dez as a coach. Dez clearly knows what it takes to get a football team humming and how to win competitions. But he left Manly in an absolute mess because of back-ended contracts, and it was the same again at Canterbury.
But that's because Manly dutted him.
Hang on, but you just said Manly dutted Dez.
Yep.
How did Manly do
Dez? Because Dez was one of the lowest. Dez was getting Manly to grand finals, and he was one of the lowest paid coaches in the competition. So Dez was asking Manly for an upgrade in his contract, which was well justified. Manly were dithering and dathering about it, saying, "Oh, we don't know if we can do that. Don't know." At that point, Todd Greenberg, who was running Canterbury, came over and said to Dez, that Todd was trying to fluff his own feathers. So he went over to the Dez and
say something else for
well,
a
but Dez was able to go. He said to Dez, "Come over and have a look at our operation here." Now, Dez had no, in the beginning, had no interest in going to Canterbury. He was a Manly man through and through. But he went over there. Manly offered him the keys to the Canterbury offered him the keys to the farm. They showed him all the things that they had, all the high tech stuff, and they were basically their training centres and all that. They had all that.
Well, they completely refurbished.
Yeah, far advanced on what Manly had.
Yep.
And at the same time, Manly originally were like, "No, mate, we're not giving you an upgrade." Now he's got the best part of Tripoli's money going to Canterbury, where he's got all the.
Well, surely Manly weren't underarming that much. I'm not begrudging Dez for deciding to do what's best for him in terms of the contract that was offered.
Yeah, but that's what ended up happening. So Dez made the decision late. And again, because he made the decision late to go to Canterbury, if you remember, it came out the week of they won the grand final.
Yeah.
Okay. It came out that week. So he made the decision late. At that point, Manly.
He made the decision after the grand final.
Yeah, but once again, Manly had no way to deal.
Dez, hang on, Dez hang on. Was Jeff running Tuvey, the cap. Jeff Tuvey's no, on Dez, NRL 360.
Dez was running the cap.
But maybe we're getting bogged down in this, where we need to discuss what's going on at the Dogs now. E.g. Trent Barrett, is he the right man for the job? This is what the Dogs fans want to know. Is Trent Barrett the man for the job?
I think Trent Barrett can coach. The question mark over Trent is the pressure of a fighting board above him. You know, the split administration above it. You know, there's no doubt that Trent, every club he's gone to and he's been an assistant coach, when you actually get to coach, I think players improve under Trent, but it's bigger than that. You know, when you're actually coaching.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
That's what brings a lot of these coaches unstuck. That's what brought Wayne Bennett undone at Brisbane in the end. Wayne Bennett tried to manage all the boardroom manipulation factions up there and all the politics up there. And in the end, Wayne, who's always been a master of it, was unable to do that. And it began to backfire on him, which is why in the end, after promising that he'd stay at the club and he'd be there next year, the Broncos decided they had to sack him because it just became untenable, the divide between the board and the coach. And here you've got a Canterbury, you've got a board that's
boring and factionalised.
They're under a lot, there's a great faction there. There's no more split board in the NRL than what's happening at the Bulldogs.
Someone
at the Bulldogs called the coppers on another person at the Bulldogs the other day.
Wow. What board members?
At board level, yes. Mm. This is how ugly it's got there. Now, the coppers came in, made nothing to see here and got out of there. Mm. They had to respond to the accusation, though. And that's how bad it's getting there and how ugly. To the point, Lynn Anderson, who's the chairwoman of the football club, George Currie, who's the president of the Leagues Club, had a peace meeting the other day where they basically said, look, let's just down weapons and try and get on with things. But it's only a ceasefire. This is like Northern Ireland. Mm. You know what I mean? Yep. It's just going to keep going.
Kerry Adams.
Mm. 18-4, by the way, Warriors Sharks lead Warriors 18-4.
Well, but so, you know what? I think it needs to be an experienced coach, someone someone that has been there before. I think a rookie coach. And
do you think the other
issue is I think is Trent will coach, and I think Trent will be a very good coach. But if I was talking to Trent and he rang me, I said, you're not that desperate.
But
mate,
this is it.
You're young.
This is the issue, right? An experienced coach who can manage that, yes, who can come in and say, look, I don't care about whether the blue faction or the white faction, who gets on with who or whatever. That coach is ideal. But what Trent Barrett has to do, and it's vital, is he has to have success early. Because if he has success early, he'll quieten the boardroom war down. If he doesn't, then the faction that didn't appoint him will use that as ammunition to get rid of the faction that did appoint him. Now, that's fair enough. That's just politics 101. Mm. But the problem for Trent is he's running on the field with a pair of twos.
Like I'll say, right, because they've got $2.5 million to spend in terms
anymore.
Of their salary cap.
They've just spent a lot of it on Kotrick.
Okay, let's get it back to $2 million. So they've still got $2 million, right, out of a possible $10 million
that
on your salary cap for next year. Yeah, and my point is, if you look at Api Korosau, for example, this season, he was going to sign with the Bulldogs. Then when Trent Barrett signed at Manly as an assistant coach, Trent helped facilitate Appy at the last minute, deciding that he was going to go to the Panthers rather than going to the Bulldogs. And it's similar with when Appy went to Manly in the first place from Penrith. Trent helped facilitate that. So the one thing that I reckon Baz can do is he is quite good. He's very popular. His players like playing for him. So
no
therefore,
doubt.
When it comes to moving into the market
I get
and trying
all
to land signatures,
and that's what
he has got
Trent
sway.
Trent is good at that, but it's everything else above. It's Brisbane, you know.
Okay, and well, I've just got a text from someone who is close to it saying, as I say, there's a ceasefire. Yeah.
Someone threw a hand grenade.
No, what's
morning.
Happening is one part is going out signing up members to take on the football club.
Mm. What, the extraordinary general meeting?
Well, they're just moving behind enemy lines. It's just ongoing then. And this is what...
Someone's just thrown a Molotov through the front end screen, yeah. Anthony.
It's like the Rabbitohs 15, 16 years ago. Boys, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll lighten things up because I know people are ringing the switchboard. What are we doing in the Maroons pub quiz? Well, we're actually doing it next. And the topic today, it's an NRL quiz. So you blokes should go okay at it. It's coming up next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Sydney.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. We do it to our mates, or we do it for our mates, not to our mates, at Bryden's Lawyers. Give them a call if you need legal advice. 1-800-848-848. Yeah. If you
I
do
like
need Bryden's, legal
they
advice.
They put an IEP in my contract.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Brydens.com. Did they put a what in your contract?
IEP.
What does that mean?
Internal erosion protection against you.
Is
that's
that
about
right?
White Anning, yeah. So I was like,
oh, you walked into that one.
Mate, who
internal erosion protection.
Now,
I've got
it
in my contract at Triple M, so you can't get me internally.
Boys, without backing him, as I know you will, can you tell me, Gordon, one person you know of that I've white-handed?
Hey.
Huh?
I just got it in my contract, Anthony.
Yeah, mate,
so if you're worried that I got it in my contract,
Becca,
that's your problem.
Anthony, with due respect.
Yeah. Didn't you get Molly
do you
too?
Not remember when
Molly?
Do you not remember during the COVID shutdown when we were shifted to Saturdays?
Okay, now listen.
And then on those Saturdays when we were on, you were actively lobbying on the airwaves that, gee, this is tremendous now that we're working on Saturdays. We're getting emails and texts from people. Social media's lit up that we should do both days, Saturday and Sunday. I'd
so
be available.
I asked Gordon, not
I'd
you.
I'd be available.
I asked him, not you. And I even made the point.
Stating the facts.
I asked Gordon, not you, didn't I?
Yes.
Right?
Anyway, so because Gordon's a colleague and a friend of mine.
Much like Bryden's would. Hoops is now representing Gordon.
Yeah. So just get me a second rate gig here now.
Old school. You got a problem with me? You talk to him.
I got a problem with all three of you. But anyway, we'll talk about that at the end of the season. It's time for this.
Welcome to Maroons Trivia Night.
Well, what about our prize today, boys? It's come all the way from Assunta, our friend from Abbotsbury, once again via the beautiful town of Abruzzi, which is an hour away from Rome, much as Wollongong is to Sydney. Where they have sent in some cakes, some beautiful Italian cakes.
Good.
Cannellonis, just like Tony Soprano has.
A couple of profiteroles
there.
Cannolis.
I imagine Abruzzi's really happy to be compared to Wollongong.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with Wollongong.
Wollongong is a nice part of the world.
Yeah. And also some lovely profiteroles, just like little Carmine would have.
Who's your favourite character on The Sopranos?
I think it'd have to be Ginny Sack.
Ginny Sack,
yeah. Anyway, All right.
Can we also just clarify, Asunta's son, Big Tone, works here. He's one of the great members of the team. He's always at the salt mines, Tone. He's always at the coalface.
Or the butter boom. He goes there sometimes.
The butter bing. The butter bing. He'd never come here and he's not here. The great Tony Soprano. All right. Well, anyway, thank you very much to your lovely mother who's she gave us the chomps all up into the crazy mazes, whatever we had last week. And then now we've got the
Who won last week? Brownie.
Oh, that'd be right. Yeah. So...
I think I was out after 2-0 and got run down and finished with minus two.
Oh, dear.
Your name is your buzzer. All questions tonight are NRL trivia. Your name is your buzzer. Question number one. We'll kick off with an easy one. Who will Tyson Frizzell play for the next season? Yes, Hoops.
The Knights.
1-0 to you, Hoops. Okay. Now, question number two. Your name is your buzzer. How many games have Parra lost this year?
Hoops.
Yes, Hoops.
Two.
Oh, it's 2-0, Hoops. Question number three. You didn't look at these, did you?
No. He's been looking at them for the last 15 minutes while you've been out jacking. Mate, anyway, that's all right.
You are fair dinkum.
You don't leave him on his desk.
You let yourself down, didn't you, mate? All right, well, I'm going to go to the next page.
Good. that might stump him. Page two.
Here we go. Here we go.
You shouldn't have page two.
There's page two.
What about us?
Okay. Your name is your buzzer. James Maloney left Penrith to play for what Super League club?
Hoops.
Yes, Hoops.
Well, Catalans.
He's done it in a clean sweep because he cheated. He looked at the picture. He looked at the questions.
The secret to any trivia quiz.
Still didn't get me through high school, Anthony.
Mate,
anyway.
Honestly, you cheated at a bloody, at an on-air quiz. What that, mate? You used to be up here. To me, you are down the bottom now, mate.
Right.
You are down the bottom.
That makes you feel better about yourself.
Well, it does make me feel better about myself.
That's something Paulie Walnuts would do.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like Paulie Walnuts. Paul Galtieri.
And look at the
Asunta went to all the trouble.
Yeah, have a look at it.
Mate,
have
they're tainted now. Don't offer me one. Yeah. They're tainted now.
No, they're going to everybody.
No, they're tainted.
Yeah, you are a grub.
It's just soured the cream in them now.
All the awful things you say about Anthony Seibold, and then you go out and cheat at a trivia.
Hang on. All the things you say about whatever you want to throw at me, but I won't cop you saying what about you throw at Anthony Seibold. You have jumped on Anthony Seibold. Harder than anybody
I
have seen in the media.
Nonsense.
Any opportunity, slip us straight in the ribs.
There you go, you do.
Nonsense. All I said was I was in Redfern today and a lot of people were very concerned about him coming out of the chemist on Redfern Street. And they had, pass him, give him this advice. And then they'd pass on a little bit of advice, which I wouldn't give a man in such a precarious state as he is in at the moment. But back to your point, you cheated at the trivia. You're barred from trivia. You're barred next week.
Good.
We'll take a break and come back with more. Cronulla 24, Warriors 4, Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sinbin.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And the Sharkies 24 lead the Warriors 4 with a minute and 10 seconds left in the first half. Sharks 24, Warriors 4. And that score update is thanks to our mates at Tyre Power with Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent. Paul will be leaving very shortly. And so too, James Tricep Super and Maroon. But we didn't get a chance, boys, to talk about the Raiders-Roosters game. Now, obviously for the Raiders, led up front by Dunamis Louie and the great Josh Papali, they got a good win, Hoops, against the Roosters and at the SCG.
One of the bravest wins in the history of the club, Anthony, was what their captain, Jared Croker, called it, and impossible to argue. I love grand final rematches. Traditionally, always a hell of a lot of feeling in them, and you go back to some of the contests between the Broncos and the Cowboys in recent years, and now this rivalry that the Raiders and the Roosters have built and have between one another, and you think of all the injuries that the Raiders had to try and deal with, and you think about the fact that everybody had them written off, and they just came out, played tough, played brave, and found a way to win. Josh Papali
was outstanding.
Yeah, one of the best games I've seen for Josh in some time, and that's saying something because he's one of the form props of the competition over the last 2 years.
I just love that Ricky picked a fight about 15 minutes after the game before, and when they're asking, "Oh, mate, is your season over?" and he said,
I don't give a shit.
And it was perfect because that's the line in the sand. So when the players are going home and the mum goes, "Oh, yeah, I just saw Ricky's press conference." So the players had no excuses. And you know what Ricky was doing? And then it wasn't an ambush because they probably get no favours through the COVID. But there's no favours when you live in Brisbane and you go play in Canberra either. And it's minus two. But it was great. He picked a fight. His team followed him. Papali, it's the first time they've played there since the 87 grand final.
Wow.
Yeah. So 33 years and you know, they kicked out on the full a couple of times because it's really hard, like unless you've played in those grounds. But it was a gutsy, tough win that showed. And I think when Hodgson was out last year, they won three in a row. And, mate, that's a good start. It's a great confidence boost. I thought they were brilliant. And I thought that their season was going to be over and it was going to be hard for them. But the towel hasn't been thrown in.
Roosters' very strong record at the SCG since they've been back there. Was that their first loss there?
No, it was their second. They lost their first game back.
Yep.
And then I think they won the next 10 or something like
that. Was that the South?
So really.
It was the South in the first
in round one of last season.
So that was the last time they lost there.
Well, yeah. So super strong record for them at that particular venue. I thought they were a little bit off, but take nothing away from the Raiders. It was a fantastic performance.
Mm. And just one thing that I've spotted, just out of the whole St. Peter Villani's changing the rules, it's brought you back as an individual, so you can't hide in the system. So when the Roosters, with the fatigue that got in when Papali goes through, and you see Orbison looking and you see, you know, Lindsay Collins, because they're tired, you had to play more minutes. And direct, you can't hide in the system. So I've believed, but the system has saved a lot of poor defenders, I think, over the last 10 years, because you can hide in the system.
Yeah.
But now, with the changes of the rules, you need to. Like, you can't come up and cuddle and dive at someone's knees and be third man in and get 40 tackles and no misses. You got to make your one-on-one tackles. And Papali just had it. He fumbles the ball, but then he sees a gap and he's going, here we go, I'm gone. Because the system, what they defended was, okay, when the ball's here, it's going to go out the back and we all slide. And Papali got it and went through a yawning gap and run 20 metres, which I loved watching.
I think what the rules have done is there's a bit of concern, I know certainly in the NRL, about the gap between the best teams and the worst teams now. But what it's done is it's recalibrated talent, and the best teams and the best coach teams are performing better under the rules. Like what Manly did last night, I don't know if you get that in a competition with under the old rules, because as Gordy said, Parramatta have just had more arsenal, would have been able to just defend within the system and just be able to get through their sets. Score would have been tighter. There would have been less loose footy. Whereas Manly just went out and played footy. They're a little bit unorthodox, and that unorthodoxy enabled them to get a jump on Parramatta and score some points. Now, that probably wouldn't have occurred if we didn't have the six again rule and the more free flowing footy. So what's happened, I think, is there's been an adjustment here where the teams in the past who haven't been as well coached or aren't as good have been protected a little bit by the way the game has been officiated. Whereas now there's a bigger gap, because what we're actually seeing now is the true talent.
And fatigue.
It's a more, yes.
And fatigue comes back to a one-on-one contest and you don't win them all. Right. But before, because you were fit and they'd take you off, and as soon as you got tired, you know, that, oh, just in case you don't tie in and help the guy that's a bit weaker out there, and we race up and we do all that. And it's happening with Brisbane. So one-on-one, defensively, they're a really poor team.
Yeah.
And they can't hide in the system because they've got no confidence.
Which is very un-Brisbane.
Like. Mm. So, and that's why Peter Ryan, old school, has been brought back in. I don't know whether, mate, we used to have to go to the sandpit. Mate, if you missed three or more tackles, there was a sandpit dug right beside the ground, and you'd get in there and the whole team would run at you, and Webke loved it. And he'd be sweaty, he'd be sand, and you'd have like little gravel rash all off your cheeks and forehead and your ears, because Webby had the most fun on running at people that couldn't tackle. And but it was a standard that got set. And that's got to come back, a bit of old school. And that's what I'm loving about the real changes. I see a bit of 80s when I was a kid sitting on the couch with Dad. I see that footy of a little halfback going through a big yawn and gapping, and I see that old-fashioned softening up period when Lazar had to come to Brisbane for them to win the comp and Dean Pay, you know, gets into them or whatever. And then I'm seeing the skill level and the technician and how they can work better with game plans. I think it's got everything. I actually think it's the best football has looked in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I wrote in my little sideline on Saturday, just how the Raiders win over Roosters just blown the competition wide open. Mm. And then out of that, then we see Manly beat Parramatta.
Yeah.
Okay. And we saw, we've seen some really good results over the weekend. It's been really strong for the competition. Even the Knights being the Rabbitohs the way they're. Yeah. Knights are top four at the moment. Mm. Oh, that's a wonderful story for the game. They're sitting top four. Adam O'Brien, rookie coach, has got up there. He's just put a bit of steel in their defence. He's given them a bit of confidence. He's put some understanding around what they're trying to do out there. The players are soaking all that up. And here they are sitting top four. And you look at the top four now, you've got Penrith potentially go to the top of the table today. Again, Penrith have been threatening for years to be a good side. They're finally making do this year. Then you've got Parramatta obviously up there. Melbourne are always there thereabouts, and Storm round out the top four. I think it looks terrific. And then five and six, you've got the Raiders and the Roosters. It's really opening up a great competition this year.
Hey, Paul, the other end of the ladder, though, we've got all the Queensland sides. The three Queensland sides are 12th, 13th and 15th. There's been a lot of discussion.
I'm not concerned by that, Anthony.
No, I'm not concerned personally.
No.
But
I don't think it's an issue. I remember, I think it was 15 when the Titans, they didn't make the semis, but we had a Broncos-Cowboys grand final. Titans were going okay, well, not really, but
yeah.
But everybody at the time was talking about the dominance of Queensland, and everyone was, and that was, it's no more concern now for the Queensland sides as it was back then for the New South Wales sides. It's cyclical. The way the game revolves, it's nothing to do. There's nothing stopping South Sydney going up to Townsville and signing the best kid in Townsville. Mm. They've got as much chance of signing that kid as the Cowboys have. Similarly, we see the Cowboys and the Broncos, and this is part of my criticism of the Warriors. They're happy to go down to Sydney and pick the best kids in the city and get the best kids out of Penrith or wherever. There's no boundary restrictions back like in the old days where you had the import rule and before that when you had the boundary rule. Mm. That just does not exist. You can go anywhere, and if you've got a good recruitment guy and they've all got open tickets to fly wherever they want to watch a kid play, there's no reason. So this is Queensland's lack of performance this year, the Queensland club's lack of performance this year is no reflection on Queensland Rugby League.
No.
And it's no indicator of the future of Queensland Rugby League. It's just they're just in a down time.
No, I appreciate all that. I wasn't going to ask that.
Okay, sorry.
I was going to say, we've discussed at length the Titans and the Broncos. Mm-hmm. What about the Cowboys? I'm hearing from my spies up there in North Queensland that Paul Green might be a little bit sour.
Is that the vessel?
I'm not saying who it is. Do you say who it is?
Get professional.
I'm not saying who it is.
The vessel so normally does get some good mail.
All right, you're not going to give up your condiments.
There is a bit of mail there. Look, I think Paul Green knows he's under some heat up there. He's got one more year to run. I know there's been approaches made to Cronulla, one club, about the possibility of Paul Green heading there next season. Now, whether that's been triggered by Paul Green, I can't say. Certainly people who are professing to represent him have made approaches to Cronulla. Whether Green's aware of that, I don't know. It would be a smart move from Paul Green's part. Rather than go next year, if he goes into next season at the Cowboys and it's much like this season, then his bargaining power for a job is greatly diminished. Whereas if he goes into the club now and gets a start and says to the Cowboys, look, things just aren't working here. The message is no longer sinking in like it used to. So what I'll do is I will move on now season early. That could be a win for the Cowboys, and it could be a win for Paul Green. Paul Green's a quality coach, there's no doubt. And as we saw, all the great coaches, at some point they come to the end of their run at clubs. Paul Green's at that point with the Cowboys.
I don't think we're going to see the Wayne Bennett 20-year Craig Bellamy anymore. Just with
you'll get the odd one, but it's not the normal. That's the thing.
We've started.
We've started to think it's normal. It's not
their
normal
turnover
now.
Of their rosters,
yes.
Boys.
Yep.
We're going to have to take a break. I'll just leave you by saying at Waterloo Waratahs, we had Ron McGuinness for 10 years. But we'll catch you on NRL 360, Paul.
You will, sir.
Okay, and we'll come back.
You only had him for 10 minutes because he only put you on for 10.
Thanks, Gordon.
A minute a year.
Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent and James Hooper. We'll be back with more as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M Rocks Footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.